We'll call the meeting to order. Can I get any updates to the agenda?
To you, Mr. Chair, administration has no updates to the agenda. However, council has an emergent item to be added to the agenda regarding the appointment of the interim county manager.
Can I get a motion to accept the emergent business? Councillor McCullough.
I'd like to make a motion that the emergent business item be added to the June 12, 2018 council meeting agenda regarding the appointment of an interim county manager.
Thank you. All in favor? That is carried. Now, if we could get a motion to accept the agenda as amended. Councillor Hansen.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the agenda as amended.
Thank you. All in favor? And that is carried. Confirmation of minutes of May 22nd. Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve. Just on page 1 of 16 of the minutes, it just has a Division 1 Councillor Camachi as present, and then down below it has him as absent. I'm just wondering if we can, if he was present or absent, I'm not sure. Thank you.
Through the chair, Deputy Reeve Gautreaux, administration has made note of that correction and has made the changes.
Thank you. And then just one other, and this is not really a debate, Mr. Reeve, is just the motion arising on page 3 of 16 from Councillor Shule. Do we have a time when that might come back to council? I'm not 100% sure. So I just wanted to just see where that was at.
Through the chair to Deputy Reeve. Yeah, it's actually we're scheduling it for the 26th, so June 26th meeting. So the next council meeting, that report will be before you.
Thank you very much. So I'd like to make a motion to adopt the minutes as amended.
Great. Would that be amended, or it's just as presented and staff will go ahead and amend them? We can take it amended.
Yeah, well, we do have to amend them, so it'd be minutes as
okay,
amended.
Good. All in favor? That too is carried. No financial reports. Can we get the report on D5? So we'll accept that agenda, amended agenda, as D5.
Mr. Chairman, there is no associated report. It's simply a motion. We've developed a motion there for you, or created a motion for you to pass to appoint the interim county manager.
Okay, then this is the emergent item. Can I get a motion to that effect? Councillor McCullough.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion that in accordance with Section 206 of the Municipal Government Act, Rick McDonald be appointed as the interim county manager of Rocky View County.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? That is carried. Welcome, Mr. McDonald. Thank you for your interest. And I'd like to take this time and chance to thank Kent Robinson for stepping up and filling in as interim CAO here. Stellar job again. Thank you for putting your life on hold and helping the county. And on the line. Okay, we'll go now to item D1.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Council. D1 is in respect of tax relief due to fire loss for Roll 0671211. Administration has received a written request from the ratepayer for property tax relief due to fire. In accordance with the fire protocol approved by Council on December 14, 2004, administration recommends that Council consider canceling municipal tax related to this property. The County's Assessment Department inspected the property and has provided an estimate, as in attachment to A, of the municipal taxes that council could consider for cancellation. Administration is recommending option 1, that the 2016 and 2017 municipal tax cancellation request for roll 0671211 due to fire damage in the amount of $2,935.68 be approved. Be happy to answer any questions.
Councillor Hansen.
So I read your excellent report, and my question is, how do we know whether there was fire insurance coverage or not?
Through the chair to Councillor Hansen, we do ask the ratepayer for that information.
Um, you can prove coverage, but how do you prove no coverage? That's what the root of my question. Is this some sort of sworn affidavit or?
Again, through the chair to Councillor Hansen, it is a request of administration to the ratepayer. We do not get a sworn affidavit.
So take it at face value. Fair enough. Thank you.
Just as a sidebar to that, does insurance cover taxes?
Through the chair, I am not quite sure of that.
I don't think it does. I sold insurance for a while, and I don't believe that taxes are covered.
No, your report said the taxes were covered by insurance. It's the first thing that they pay out.
Huh?
I think, if I read the report correctly.
Okay. Can I get a motion? Councillor Shule.
You know what? I'll go to the area council, let her to make the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Wright.
Sorry, I have a question.
Councillor McCarler.
Thank you. Through the chair, when was the fire specifically? Sorry, where? I didn't see it.
When we do these forgiveness, it is not 100%, is it? It's down to just we're taking away the value of the house if it's a total loss. So we're just forgiving taxes that would be paid on something that's non-existent anymore.
I'll answer Colin's question in a second, Councillor McCullers. To the chair, that is correct. It's only the municipal tax portion that is forgiven. Through the chair to Councillor McCullough, the ratepayer vacated the house on February 18th, 2016.
Thank you.
Councillor Wright.
I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
Motion option one, that the 2016 and 2017 municipal tax cancellation request for roll number 0671-2101 due to fire damage in the amount of $2,935.68 be approved.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, call the question. All in favor? That is carried. D2.
Thank you, Council.
Actually, some people that are self-insured.
Good morning, Council. I'm Corey Graham. I'm your Municipal Lands Administrator. And I'm here with respect to item D2, which is a road dedication affecting county lands. The county requires that a 0.08-acre portion of county-owned municipal reserve land located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Bears Paw Road and Burma Road be dedicated to the road plan for the purposes of enhancing the intersection safety. Rocky View Schools and the Recreation Board have been circulated with details of the proposal and have not expressed any concerns. The portion of lands to be dedicated to the road allowance have a minimal impact on the existing recreational nature of the lands, and the request is consistent with the requirements of the Municipal Government Act. All known technical components will be addressed through the recommended subdivision conditions. For this reason, administration recommends option one, that the requested assignment of 0.08-acre portion of county lands known legally as Block 9-R, or sorry, R-9, Plan 1085LK be approved for road dedication. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. Councillor Wright.
Through the chair to Mr. Graham. Are we putting in a right turn lane there, or is this just more about visibility? Do we know what's going on with this particular corner? Or is it to match the northeast corner where it's severed like that too?
Now, I have to say, as a municipal lands administrator, I'm not completely... privy to the details. I understand it is to enhance a right turn, but special capital projects would be able to answer the specific details to that.
Okay, let me see if anyone's here. Is there anybody here that can help me with that? Sorry, Mr. Hapachuk.
Good morning, Council. Doug Hafacek. There's no specific plan for that intersection right now. Right now, it's primarily about providing improved visibility, although long-term, we will be putting in a right-hand turn lane to improve the intersection.
Okay, so nothing for now, but
correct.
Down the road we're going.
Correct.
Okay, because I was going to say, that's not really the problem corner. The problem corner is northeast corner.
To the north
corner.
Side, yes.
Right, but if this is going to help things down the road, then that's great, because this is, just for all of Council's information, this is a two-stop. From east to west, this stop sign, and people consistently blow it. So anything that helps with the visibility, I'm
correct.
Totally supportive of, so thank you.
Thank you.
With your support, could we get a motion?
I'm sorry, I thought maybe there would be some questions. So. Just give me 2 seconds here. So I'd like to make a motion to support option one, that the requested assignment of the 0.08-acre portion of county lands known legally as Block R-9, Plan 1085 LK, be approved for road dedication.
Thank you. No discussion. All in favor? That is carried. Thank you very much. We'll carry on to D3. Oh, you're still here.
Thank you, Council. I'm Corey Graham, your Municipal Lands Administrator, and I'm here with respect to item D3, which is Municipal Lands Office's 2018 disposal work plan. Now, before I proceed, I'd like to remind Council that should the discussion head in a direction that may affect our third-party negotiations or require advice from officials, that a motion to go in camera may be required for this report. Administration is prepared to move forward with a 2018 disposal work plan of a county non-viable surface lands. In 2018, the 2018 work plan consists of 11 closed former road allowance parcels titled Fee Simple. The lands have been circulated to various stakeholders internally and confirmed not to have a utility purpose for the county and no known effect to the community development or proposed recreation master plans. In addition, per Policy 313, Sale of Fee Simple Lands, administration has assessed the lands and engaged an independent appraisal vendor to determine the limited open market discount methodology to determine a market value threshold for the subject lands. All net proceeds will be transferred to the county's tax stabilization reserve. Now, there are many factors that Council should take into consideration in making a decision to sell. These include: the lands will be sold to adjacent landowners only. No other options will be considered at this time. The purchase and sale agreements will ensure that all risk and liabilities associated to the former road allowances will be assumed by the purchaser. The lands will be sold as is. There's a scarcity of comparables for determining market value of the lands. A discount of at least 50% from a traditional open market value has been recommended by the county's independent third-party appraiser. Each site will have a closing cost for transactions. These typically include the subdivision applications, survey, agent fees, and title transfers. Closing costs will be incorporated into the final sale price whenever possible. The county will operate at a high level of professionalism with a customer service focus. Administration will ensure all parties for each individual road allowance receive the same deal per acre in an effort to maintain harmony in the community. There are no known budget implications, and we'll endeavor to ensure that closing costs will be in the final purchase price as stated. And for this reason, administration recommends option one, that administration be directed to proceed with the 2018 disposal work plan and sell county surplus former road allowances to adjacent landowners. I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Councillor Wright.
Through the chair to Mr. Graham. So assuming there's more than one adjacent landowner, as I would typically assume there would be, do they go into a bidding war? How do we determine who gets the land, or is it first come, first serve, first person up to the plate that gets it? If I can get some clarification on that, please.
Certainly, through the chair. So you'll note, maybe this is, actually, I apologize, I should have brought up the map. I got so into it. So with these, we actually don't have a scenario where you would have competing landowners.
Okay. How not?
So what would happen is we would subdivide these parcels. So maybe a good example would be, here's one. So let's suggest this one, where you would notice that there is actually this allowance backs on, former road allowance backs onto several parcels. So what we would do is then subdivide and allow a contiguous border adjustment for that parcel.
Okay.
So you wouldn't be in a situation where you would have competing offers for that parcel because it wouldn't be available to everyone, only to the adjacent.
What if the parcel owner to the right wants it?
If there's a potential that we could divide it down the center, however, I would maybe suggest that it has more of a benefit to the already developed parcels. We could definitely engage that landowner as well. They do have a significant land holding, so we're not necessarily looking at them as a priority.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Hanson.
So through the chair to Mr. Graham, question of timing, but we have been working on a very detailed active transportation network. When we say that this has been through all departments, including the recreation master plans, does that include our upcoming active transportation network? Have we vetted any of these road allowances for potential connecting trails in some of these communities?
Through the chair. You bet. Actually, this has been circulated to the roads group, and we actually had more road allowances identified as being potential for disposal, and we have withdrawn those as a result of various requirements that roads have identified.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I see no further questions. Can we get a motion? Councillor Wright.
Sorry. Through the chair again to Mr. Graham. Can you just explain to me why we would sell them at 50% of their value? Is it just because we just want to get rid of them, really?
You bet. Through the chair. Actually, what this is so the assessors, our office, has identified it as being what would the value be in an open market if we put this on MLS and we were able to get everyone involved. And there's a potential there that we would get full market value for that land. But that's not what we're trying to accomplish here. Because we're intentionally in a limited open market instead, where we're doing direct sales, and really it's a go or no go. This is an opportunity here. If we don't sell these to the adjacents or to an immediate landowner, these aren't for sale. So as a result, though, because of a limited open market, you start adding discounts, and it's basically through scarcity because you don't have a lot of comparables, and you're really limiting the open market and by coming to a limited market. And so there's a discount from what you might get if you were to put it on, you know, MLS and go to the free market versus now you're doing a direct sale and then you're really limiting to your base, basically.
Thank you. I like the idea of selling to the adjacent. I mean, like an example like this one, though, it'll be interesting if the landowner to the right does have an interest. So then you have competing, and so your idea of splitting it down the middle, I guess, is, can you do a mass, what do you have to call it, a redesignation here? Do you have to redesignate all this, or just a subdivision?
There's a few ways to skin this cat. You would be able to subdivide and create up to six parcels. And that's through Rocky View County Bylaw C7546-2015 allows for us to subdivide up to six parcels through administration. So that is a possibility. There's also, you can do title amalgamations and do a redesignation and then amalgamate into the adjacent parcels, and then you wouldn't actually have a subdivision. You just have somewhat of a surrendering of title. So it really comes down to the discussions with the landowners and what's preferred. But there's ways to make it happen.
Good. Yep. Sounds like a good process. Councillor Hanson.
How many situations are actually like this where you have established residences that you're selling to versus open property, through the chair, Mr. Graham, because it's worth a lot less to the guys on the left than potentially the guy on the right. And you could probably get close to full market value for the guy on the right if he actually wanted to develop that out, because it's 100% applicable to his development on a per acre basis. But the guys on the left, they're just buying buffer space.
Sorry, through the chair. That's not necessarily how we would look at it. Being that the land valuation of a developed parcel versus an undeveloped, you're talking about agricultural land value versus residential land value. So potentially selling it to the left, you'd have a larger value than you would for the agricultural, kind of regardless of the agricultural value to the right and the
current versus future value.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like it's been considered well. Thank you.
Councillor McCullough.
Thank you. Through the chair, just to further on what Councillor Hansen was sort of driving at, I think that, you know, in the interest of fairness and transparency, any adjacent landowner, regardless of where we would like to see it sold, should be offered that opportunity. And the folks on the east side of that parcel, it may be less because it would be ag lands. I understand that. But again, they may be the only ones interested. But I think we have to raise they have the right to raise their hand as well.
Seeing no further discussion, can I get someone to make a motion? Councillor Kissel.
I'd like to do that this morning for you. Tyler, get it up there on the screen. Thank you, Tyler. I'd like to move that that administration be directed to proceed with the 2018 disposal work plan and sell county surplus former road allowances to the adjacent landowners.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor? That is carried. We will go to D4.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Council. Item D4 is a request for approval of the Bearspaw Reservoir Task Force Terms of Reference. The Bearspaw Reservoir is located on the Bow River and is within the county's boundaries. The reservoir was formed by the damming of the Bow River, and the purpose of the damming was for a TransAlta hydroelectric dam. It provides source water to both the residents of the City of Calgary and the county. In total, the county utility providers have five spots that they draw water out of the reservoir directly, and you can see them on the screenshot up there. And that water services thousands of Calgary residents, thousands of county residents, stretching up through Bearspaw and actually all the way over to the East Balzac area. And likewise, Calgary draws in that purple dot there a water intake, and that services hundreds of thousands of Calgary residents. In 2017, the county was approached by the city to participate in a task force comprising the city, the county, and TransAlta. And at that time, we'd agreed to participate in that task force. The city also requested that, or we agreed to that as part of the mediated settlement on the Glenbow Ranch Area Structure Plan. The purpose of the task force is to explore management strategies for the Bearspaw Reservoir related to the protection of source water quality, recreational access, and emergency response. The intended outcomes of the task force is a report to our respective councils and TransAlta administration, and it would identify risks to water quality and potential mitigations of that risk. It would also look at public safety and emergency response. Given there are no budget implications to the report, and any recommendations arising from that report would come back to council for consideration. So given the importance of the Bearspaw Reservoir to both the county and the region, administration is recommending approval of the terms of reference as attached.
Thank you. And I really like the report in the fact that it acknowledged Rocky View's concern of source water protection in the Bow River and on the reservoir, that we have an equal interest with the City of Calgary, less people, but the same interests. So. Councillor Wright.
Through the reeve to Mr. Bars, do you have any idea who's going to be sitting on this at this time?
Through the chair, I do. It'll be me. And what I intend to, though, is to draw on various county representatives when we get to that subject matter. So rather than having everybody there all the time, if it's emergency response, I might draw on the fire chief to attend stormwater management. If that comes up, it would be through engineering services, et cetera.
And utilities, I presume. Councillor Wright, or sorry, you're not Wright. You're Hanson.
Through the chair to Mr. Bars. It says that each of the tri-parties is supposed to put three people on. Are they expecting those three people to be consistent, or you talked about swapping them in and out? Is that what the other parties are up to as well?
There's going to be, the City of Calgary tends to bring lots of people to the table, and so they wanted to identify three. We're one, but everybody's agreed that you can bring in subject matter experts whenever we get to a particular area that requires that. So, you know, possibly the county could have three people attending any particular meeting, depending on the subject, but I'll be the continuity through the process.
Excellent. Thank you.
Councillor McCullough.
Thank you. Through the chair. I mean, my recommendation would be that we appoint two, and only for, I think, for safety of the county. I mean, if you win the lotto, which is always my plan, you know, then we have someone else that is well-versed in what's been happening as well. I think subject matter experts are great, but they come in and out. And so for someone else to have, even if it's just, you know, someone else within your team that is there and present so that, again, we have continuity of what's been happening at these meetings, that would make me feel a little better.
Through the chair to Councillor McCullough, certainly I share this with my team, Nesreen, and she's aware of the ongoing process and is also quite aware of what we're trying to do with the city and moving forward this and other particular issues we have. So I'm not the only repository of information, but we do try and use our, you know, our resources as best we can. And so she certainly would be made aware of what's going on. It could pinch hit for me at any particular meeting.
Any further comments, or could I get a motion? Deputy Reeve Gautreaux, please.
Thank you. I'll move option one, that the Bearpaw Reservoir Task Force terms of reference be approved as per attachment A.
Thank you. All in favor? That is carried. Thank you. We'll go to item E1.
Good morning, Reeving Council. My name is Angela Perry from Engineering Services. Item E1 is a request for second and third readings to Bylaw C-7745-2017. Administration brought application PL 2016-0018 before Council for public hearing and first reading on January 9, 2018. First reading was granted, and the bylaw was then forwarded to the Minister of Transportation for approval, which was received back on March 21, 2018. Today, we are requesting to complete the second and third readings of this bylaw and complete the road closure and consolidation. Administration had an appraisal of the lands prepared. The combined value given to these portions of road allowance was $2,340 per acre for a rounded total of $14,000 for these 1.96 and 4.02 acre portions to be consolidated. The applicants, Joel Hillis and Elmer Fenton, have agreed to this value and wish to proceed with the consolidation. Survey plans have been prepared by the applicant for both the closure and consolidation, and the applicant will also be registering an access easement agreement on both titles for the adjacent landowners that wish to use the area. Motion one is to amend the bylaw by inserting a surveyed plan showing the road closure area into the Schedule A. And motions 2 through 4 are to complete the bylaw and the sale of the land to the applicant. Administration is recommending approval in accordance with option 1, motions 1 through 4. Thank you.
Thank you for the report. Councillor Kissel, Division 9.
Pardon?
Said it is Division 9.
Yes. I'd like to move the motion 1 that the bylaw C7... 745-2017 be amended by replacing Schedule A with the final road closure plan as per Attachment B.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favour? That is carried. Councillor Kissel.
I'd like to move that bylaw C-7745-2017 be given second reading as amended.
Motion for second on amended, as amended. All in favour? That is carried. And Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
I'll make a motion 3 that bylaw C-7745-2017 be given third and final reading as amended.
Third reading, all in favour? That is carried. And Councillor Kissel.
I'd like to move that the 5.98 acres of land be transferred and sold to the applicants Joel Hillis and Elmer Buster Fenton, subject to a sales agreement being signed at the appraised value of $2,340 per acre, totaling $14,000 rounded, plus $2,750 for the cost of the appraisal and all applicable taxes. B, that the incidental cost to create the title and consolidation. More coffee with the adjacent lands that are at the expense of the applicants, and C, that the terms of the sales agreement shall be completed within 1 year after bylaw C-7745-2017 receive third and final reading.
Thank you. Seeing no comments, Councillor Wright.
Through the chair, just for clarification, what happens after the 1 year period? Does it just all become defunct?
Through the chair to Councillor Wright, the bylaw will be completed today after the third reading is given, so the land would become somewhat similar to Mr. Graham's surplus lands if the sale didn't go through after that time.
Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
Thank you. Through the chair, just one question on this then. So nowhere in our motions, though, and especially motion 4, states that they'll be signing the agreement to allow the access, I'm just trying to find it in the report here, to the adjacent landowners.
Through the Reeve to Deputy Reeve, it was not a requirement of us for the landowners to enter into that access agreement. The application was for closure and consolidation. Some of the adjacent landowners did have concerns that they would not have access, so the applicant agreed to allow that. So that's his choice to allow that. It wasn't a requirement of the county.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, I'll call the question. All in favor? And that is carried. Thank you very much. We'll go to I-1, the notice of motion. Councillor Kissel, could you read it into the record, please?
I need a speaker. So I'll start with the top to be read in June 12th. Is that where you want me to start, or can I?
Start by the title. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Title: 146-acre parcel of Rocky View County lands leased by the Cochrane and District Ag Society. Presented by Crystal Kissel, Division 9, and Councillor Kevin Hansen, Division 3. Whereas, being almost an entirely new council, it is important that the council has a clear understanding as to the best use of the land for the future. And whereas, this land was gifted to the residents of Rocky View County in 1999 by Her Majesty the Queen in the right of Alberta, as represented by the Minister of Environment, for the total cost of $1. And whereas there has been no council decision as a whole made through a resolution to dispose of the 146-acre parcel of land, and whereas there have been numerous studies completed, including the 2010 County Community Needs Assessment Survey, the 2010 Ranch Lands Community Survey, the 2013 Tri-Party Concept Plan, and the 2014 Town of Cochrane Community Survey.
And whereas the Cochrane and District Ag Society presented at the May 1st, 2018 Policy and Priorities Committee meeting and raised some concerns regarding its business plan that did not include how the existing land could be utilized and should the Cochrane and District Ag Society plan to stay. Whereas the Modernized Municipal Government Act and mandate membership in the Calgary Growth Management Board requires each municipality to specifically outline the provision of the municipal services and facilities for collaborative and beneficial outcomes. And whereas the responsibility for the parks planning rests with the local government, and that recreation planning is a key part of the process of improving leisure opportunities available to the residents and improving the health and well-being of the community. And whereas the open space and recreation facilities that are of particular social value to the local community should be recognized and given protection by local planning authorities through the appropriate planning policy. Open space of particular quality may include, number one, areas of open space in urban areas that provide an important local amenity and variety of recreational opportunities. Number two, areas of open space that provide a community resource and use for agricultural shows and cultural festivals. And number three, areas of open space that will benefit wildlife and biodiversity. And whereas, once all information received, whether through studies, administration, or public engagement, this council will be able to decide the best direction for this land asset disposal, serving the Rocky View County residents' best interests. Therefore, be it resolved that the lands under the current lease by the Cochrane and District Agricultural Society be removed from the land disposal list until a time that council has a clear understanding as to the best and most appropriate use of the land and provides direction on whether the land asset disposal is in the county's residents' best interest.
You probably need a rest. Councillor Shule.
I was just going to ask Councillor Kissel if she could start repeating it from the first whereas, as I might have missed something.
You missed that part? Thank you. Have we got someone here for... Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, just had a quick request or respectful request of council on this particular one. I've been asked, if we might be able to consider the July 10th council meeting to bring back a report for it. The due date for reports for the June 26th are tomorrow, and so we're just asking if council might consider us bringing this back on July 10th, which is the next council meeting.
Okay. Do you need a motion to that effect? I guess we have to change that. Just an amendment. Councillor Hansen.
I'd like to make an amendment to the notice of motion that the report due back from administration on this matter will be debated at the July 10th council meeting.
Councillor McIler.
Yeah, before we think about that, is that enough time? So I guess and the last information is whether this is through studies, administration, or public engagement. And so if we're considering that we need information from public engagement, which I would think we would, is July 10th enough time to gather all that information? And I'm not sure that it is.
That would be decided at July 10th. So with the direction of council to move forward on gaining more information or public participation.
Yeah, to the chair and to Councillor McIler, I agree. We'll have something ready for you on July 10th. If council wishes to go further, we certainly can take that direction on July 10th.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go on to J1. We have had a request from the applicant to address council, so we'll need a motion to that effect from Councillor McCarthy.
I'd like to make a motion that we allow the applicant to speak.
Okay. All in favor? Recorded vote. Sorry.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed.
I'm opposed.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
I think that carried. Yep. Good. Okay. So can we get the report, please?
Absolutely. Good morning, Council. My name is Stefan Kuntz. I'll be presenting item J1 on behalf of administration here this morning. The purpose of this application is to create a 2.05-acre parcel with a 2.05-acre remainder. The lands are designated Residential 1 District and are located in the community of Springbank. The lands are approximately 1 mile west of the City of Calgary and 1.5 miles north of Highway 1, just in this location. You can see the subject lands here. This is this Residential 1 parcel. The lands in the vicinity of the subject lands are predominantly country residential. We have both R2 and R1 parcels in the area. There's also a number of larger agricultural parcels to the west. Some other uses are the Springbank Links Golf Course, which is located to the northeast, as well as some of the commercial areas adjacent to Range Road 31. In terms of on-site development conditions, there is currently a dwelling located on Lot 2. That dwelling is serviced by a connection to the North Springbank Water Co-op and has a private sewage treatment system in place for wastewater. Lot 1 is currently not developed, and so both of these servicing solutions are proposed for this lot. The applicant has provided a letter from the North Springbank Water Co-op confirming that the water capacity is available. However, there are conditions in place to ensure that this is connected and registered at time of endorsement. For wastewater, the applicant has submitted a Level 3 private sewage treatment system, which indicates that a packaged sewage treatment plant is appropriate if placed on site in accordance with county servicing standards. In terms of transportation and access, currently, again, the development is on Lot 2, or the proposed Lot 2, rather, and there are two approaches that actually access that lot. The northern one is paved and in good condition. That provides the primary access to the dwelling. There is a secondary field approach that is located to the south. Now, typically, under the county's approach policy, Policy 402, it aims to restrict the number of approaches to each parcel to one. The theory behind this is obviously any intersection or place where traffic is accessing the road network increases the potential for an incident. So by decreasing those potential areas, overall safety is enhanced. In this situation, given that Lariat Loop is a relatively closed part of the road network, mostly just local traffic using this road, and that the approach is in place currently, council has the discretion to allow that to remain. So the condition set has been structured for that. However, if you wish to change that, to have them remove the approach, you'll need to amend the motion in order to reflect that. Lot 1 currently, again, is not developed and does not have an approach either. The exact location of that being located on a circle, or a curve rather, will be determined at time of endorsement in consultation with county's operations staff. Just the last matter regarding transportation is transportation off-site levy, which is owing for the balance of the lands for both parcels. In terms of developability, Lot 2, there's no concerns. The lands are developed currently. For Lot 1, however, you'll notice there is quite a relatively significant wetland located on site. As lands approach this 2-acre parcel size, these begin to become a bit of an issue. Not an issue that can't be considered, obviously. The reason for this is that country residential lands, the county requires 1 acre of contiguous land in order to house that development. This allows for the construction of a dwelling, any accessory buildings, any impervious areas, as well as servicing infrastructure, in this case, the private sewage treatment system. So Alberta Environment has identified this as a wetland or a marsh, and it's generally in this location here. So if you notice on pages 2 and 3, we have two conditions that would ensure this. One is the environmental screening letter. Essentially, that would actually field test the location of this wetland to determine the exact size of it. The geotechnical developable area assessment would then determine the remaining area and whether or not an acre is available. For stormwater, this has a little bit of implications as well. As you can see, the wetland straddles the parcel to the west, so there is potential for off-site impacts if this is impacted or any flooding is caused to this wetland. The applicant has submitted a site-specific stormwater plan. However, it accounted for additional development, but not the adjustment to the drainage conditions on site. So we have asked for an update to that. So the final matter, municipal reserves, they were provided in 1987 when the lands were created, so there's no concerns in regards to that. In terms of policy, this was considered in January 9th, 2018, under the redesignation application PL 2017-01234. At that time, the lands were designated from Residential 2 District to Residential 1 District. Council considered the Central Spring Bank Area Structure Plan as well as the Lariat Loop conceptual scheme and determined that this was appropriate. So, in conclusion, this application proposes to create a 2.05-acre parcel with a 2.05-acre remainder on a parcel that was designated Residential 1 District in 2018. Proposed parcel satisfies the statutory requirements of the Central Spring Lake Area Structure Plan, Lariat Loop Conceptual Scheme, and the Land Use Bylaw. Matters considered in the county servicing standards can be addressed through the conditions of subdivision. Therefore, administration recommends approval in accordance with Option 1.
Thank you. We'll now ask the applicant to come forward if they'd like to, whoever would like to speak. Anyone that wanted to speak, I believe the applicant wanted to speak to this. Scared him away. Do you have a name of who wanted to speak? Okay. Just we'll take a second. We'll take a 5-minute break. Call the meeting back to order, and we'll welcome you to come forward and speak to council about your issue. If you just speak your name into the microphone for the record, please.
Thank you. My name is Terry Dowsett. My apologies for being late this morning. I thought I was at the end of the day, and I actually just texted my son to say, I think we're after lunch. I looked at the agenda, so my big apology for this. A little kind of taken aback here, so I'll try and get my act together quickly. Thank you for providing the opportunity for me to speak today to two issues that we had relating to our application, specifically the requirement for the environmental screening letter, condition 10, and the transportation fees and levy. So to address the first one, the point on the wetlands, when we first moved into our property 29 years ago, standing water did occasionally occur in the early spring until the frost came out of the ground, then quickly soaked away. Most of this standing water resulted from a skating rink we used to build for our children. Ice reduced the rate of thawing and contributed to additional meltwater. During the past 15 years, this area has remained completely dry, including the flood of 2013 and also this spring when historical snowfall melted all at once. So I have attached on the back of the handout three pictures from the end of April when the snow melted. Lot one is, you can see in the back there, that light color is where the wetland is, identified by Rocky View. Figure three shows a picture that I did where I dug a hole trying to find some water in that area. You can see it's completely dry. I took the same photo for figure two, which showed water collecting in the ditch on Lariat Loop. And that was when water was collecting in many of the ditches in the surrounding area. But you can see the zone where our wetland is has absolutely no water, and I dug down and could not even find a soggy spot. So under the technical considerations of the application, it suggested that a wetland is located in the center-west portion of Lot 1, encompassing a significant portion of the located proposed lot. The developability section of Appendix A, specifically point 10, states that the owner shall provide an environmental screening letter in order to determine the area of on-site wetland. The letter shall be prepared by a qualified biologist in accordance with county servicing. It is our view that this area does not fit the profile of a wetland as defined by Alberta Wetland Identification and Delineation Directive Water Conservation 2015, and does not encompass a significant portion of the lot. We would like this point removed, please. In support of this request, we offer the following. Alberta Environment's definition of a wetland indicates that hydrophytic species must cover more than 50% of the abundant plat species in the community or plot. On the proposed lot, there is an area of approximately 150 square feet that contains mostly grasses with a few remaining sedges. Sadly, this area also contains some noxious weeds, which were identified in the summer of 2017 when I received a notice from Rocky View to remove them. Pocket gophers also reside in this area. So on figure 4 of that last page, I have shown a picture where I've taken showing the pocket gopher mounds in that flat spot where the suggested wetland is. And you can see there's quite a few mounds. The map prepared by Alberta Environment and referenced by Rocky View appears to be out of date, and we believe the identification of our wetland is no longer correct and the database is out of date. Drainage patterns have also changed due to development in the area. On page 229 of Council's agenda package, you can see that a number of homes and roadways which have been built over areas identified as wetlands, including the Lariat Loop Road. You'll see on that map there's some blue highlighted wetland areas and the yellow. I called Erica yesterday, and she indicated to me that those yellow areas were suggestive of parcels that had been altered. But I know that across the road from us, those five little yellow spots on the buyer's property, that's all still pretty much native prairie, and they've never done anything to adjust their land. But you can see some of those wetlands in yellow do have roadways or homes plunked right now in the middle of them. We respect the conditions of a wetland as outlined by Alberta Environment and would never plan to impact an area of ecological significance nor build a home where it could be damaged by water. That was our first point. And the second one was the transportation fees and levies. We also request your consideration of Condition 4 of Appendix A related to transportation levy. We respectfully request that the transportation levy only be applied to the proposed 2-acre lot and not the gross acreage, as a home and family have been residing on the first lot for 29 years and no net increase in traffic will occur. In support of this request, we offer the following. It's our understanding that the purpose of the levy is to collect funds that will be allocated toward financing of capital costs of new or expanded roads required or impacted by subdivision, and the acquisition of lands required for or in connection with any such new expanded roads. It's noted that the following development approvals are exempted of both the base levy and the special levy, and that all lands designated as either a residential or agricultural land use district and the issuance of the permit is directly associated with construction of a dwelling, a renewable permit, or unlikely to result in increased traffic on the local road network. And that third bullet was the one that we felt was impacting where we wouldn't significantly increase local traffic. Our son and his family currently live with us. We recognize that we're creating a second lot and do believe we should pay the transportation levy on the new 2 acres of that lot. Our son is planning to build a home for his young family and paying the cost of this subdivision. The quote we received for the preliminary assessment for the environmental screening letter was $3,400. The cost of the transportation levy is also significant and will add unnecessary cost to what you already know is an expensive undertaking. Thank you very much for your consideration. Respectfully, Terry.
Thank you. I see no questions for you, so thank you for the input. I have a question to administration on this wetland. Is it an Alberta Environment recognized wetland?
To the chair, it is indeed. There are a number of this is actually a bit of an outdated map when we did this originally. They've updated these. You can see this is available online right now. This is what Alberta Environment considers as active wetlands. So you can see the subject lands in that location, and this is the wetland here. The way they base this off of typically is from a desktop assessment. They look at the topography of the area, and you can see in this area there is kind of a low spot right there. They'll also look at historic air photos of the area, so this is from 2014, and you can see that there has been potential for a wetland to be located there. Once it's determined that that may be the location of a wetland, or there has been in the past, the reason for the environmental screening letter is to actually determine, is that exactly the wetland and is that exactly the area? So what they'll do for that is look at both the vegetation, but as Ms. Dowsett said, sometimes that vegetation tends, if it hasn't been wet for 5, 10, 15 years, it will die off. However, there will be evidence in the soils that that it is indeed a wetland. So again, just to kind of summarize, this is the current Alberta Environment assessment of the wetland.
So further to that then, if Alberta Environment can do this off a desktop, why couldn't we do this assessment letter off a desktop?
Through the chair, I suppose we could if you wanted to simply apply the area that they've determined and then take the geotechnical developable area off of that. I suppose that's possible. The only problem is with that is that it wouldn't be necessarily exactly accurate to the on-site conditions.
I'm going to ask you to take your seat because we have heard from you, and this isn't a public hearing, so we've made an exception. Councillor Shule.
I guess where I'm going very similar to the Reeves questions, and you answered some of them. Who's asking for, is this a provincial requirement to ask for this type of letter, or is this a policy of the county? I'm just trying to understand it better because I'm looking at the pictures here, and she does have a real good point. I've never seen a gopher ever build a water or a home or dig holes in a slough. So I'm just kind of curious, is this a requirement of Alberta Environment or is this ours?
Through the chair, at this point in time, this would be our requirement. So I mentioned about the geotechnically developable acre, the contiguous acre. So the county servicing standards require that contiguous acre to be located on site. This is all part of confirming that. I suppose further down the line, if the landowner wanted to build in that area or do any development in that area, at that point it would become an Alberta Environment issue where they may have to provide compensation or mitigation through them. But this is also just a good point to raise that awareness.
Okay, and the other question I guess is very similar to Reeves again is why couldn't we, I hope we in the future we can start doing some of the desktop. I mean, if desktop from what they're looking at is saying that it is a wetland and we can say it's not, I'm not sure why we would be asking residents to spend extra money. So this is my opinion on this.
Councillor McCullough, and it is 10:05. We're into public hearing time here, so if we can wrap this up quickly or table it, and we'll deal with it after the public hearings.
All right. Well, I'm just going to try something here. I'll just make a couple of motions then. I'd like to make a motion, if there's no further discussion, on applying the transportation off-site levy just to the newly created parcel.
So that would be to lot 2?
Correct.
Okay.
No, lot.
Lot 1.
Lot
sorry.
1, sorry.
Yeah. So can you write that up, Tyler?
And should I do the whole thing?
Just let him write that one up, and then we'll deal with this one, and we'll see what the next one is.
On just
only?
On lot 1 there, Tyler.
For lot 1 only.
Yes.
Thank you. Is that sufficient?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any debate? Seeing none, all in favor. Recorded vote. Start with Councillor Comanche.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed. Opposed.
And that amendment is carried. Your second.
I'd like to make a motion that the condition for a wetlands assessment, and I'm not sure of the wording on that, be removed. And if the, I don't know how to word this, if the building envelope includes that parcel, then we can address it at that point. Does that make sense?
I'd have to go to administration. Is that possible? Like, how can we would delete condition 10 and...
be dealt with at the building stage.
So is there a geotechnical thing that can be done, or assessment that can be done so that somebody doesn't put a house in this wetland?
Through the chair, 10 and 11 are sort of related. So 10 is the environmental screening letter. That's to determine the exact size of the wetland. Again, so that's based on the soil. Somebody would actually look at it and say, well, there's hydrophilic soils here. This is part of the wetland. 11 would then take that information and then apply it to the rest of the land and then determine this has 1.2 developable acres or what have you. You could technically go off of just Alberta Environment's existing desktop information, but as I said, that might not be exactly accurate. It might be taking, it might be larger than what's actually on the site, and if that, that causes a situation where it doesn't show that we have a full acre, that could be potentially detriment to the applicant.
It could be smaller, though.
And absolutely.
To Councillor Shule's point, this vegetation doesn't look like it's held wetlands for quite some time, and I would agree pocket gophers don't inhabit wetlands. So I'm just wondering what we're doing here.
Could we table this until after the public hearings, and then we won't feel rushed. We can do it appropriately. So if I could get a motion to table this till after the public hearings.
I'd like to make a motion to table item J1 until after the public hearings.
Thank you. All in favor. And it is tabled. We will go. Does anybody need a break? No. We'll go right to item C1. And that is Division 1. Councillor Comanche.
I'd like to open the hearing.
Move to open. All in favor. That is carried. Can we get the report, please?
Morning, Mr. Reeve and Council members. Paul Simon representing Planning Services. Item C1 is situated within Division 1, located approximately 0.5 kilometers west of Highway 22, approximately 0.25 kilometers north of Highway 66. Subject lands fall within the Greater Bragg Creek Area Structure Plan and are designated Residential 2 District. Surrounding parcels are designated residential as well as agricultural. Purpose of this application is to redesignate the subject lands from Residential 2 District to Residential 1 District in order to facilitate the creation of a 2.33 acre parcel with a 2.52 acre remainder. Property is currently serviced by means of water well and private sewage treatment system. The proposed new lot is proposed to be serviced by similar means. The applicant has submitted the necessary technical studies that do conform to the county servicing standards to confirm that the lot is capable of being serviced in this manner. Subject lands are currently one of four parties you can see here. So the subject lands, the lot immediately south, the lot to the northeast, and then the lot to the south or the southeast here as well. They're currently one of four parties to an existing access easement agreement. So when the subdivision is registered at the future subsequent subdivision stage, that legal agreement will transfer to the newly created lot. However, at the subdivision stage, we will confirm with the applicant whether or not they intend to construct a new approach or continue to access through that access easement agreement. As shown on the county's 2016 aerial photograph, you can see that the proposed southern lot here is currently developed with one dwelling, single detached. As shown on figure 6 of the Bragg Creek area structure plan, the subject lands are located within South Bragg Creek. Figure 13 of the Bragg Creek area structure plans identifies the subject lands as suitable for infill residential development. County's topographic information does show that within the area there are some areas of slopes, however, none have been confirmed to be greater than 10%. So policy 7.1C of the Greater Bragg Creek Area Structure Plan requires conceptual schemes to support increased residential development in the infill areas. However, in accordance with provisions of the ASP, development may proceed in the absence of a conceptual scheme when the following criteria are met: when direct road access is available, which it is with the subdivision design that the applicant has proposed here, when one lot is being created, which is the circumstance in this case, when the proposed lot to be created is greater than 2 acres in size. Both lots in this circumstance are in fact greater than 2 acres, and when the creation of the new lot will not impede the future subdivision of the balance lands. From administration's perspective, the proposed subdivision design does not impede any future subdivision potential. Therefore, administration recommends that a conceptual scheme is not required to facilitate this infill development. So when we look at the Greater Bragg Creek Area Structure Plan, density is always a consideration, even when we are outside the hamlet. So density in the infill areas is determined on the basis of a ratio of lots per acre of gross developable area. Gross developable area is the amount of land that remains once all the areas that represent constraints to development have been subtracted from the total area of the land. So, for instance, this would be areas of steep slopes, generally in excess of 15%, that pose a constraint to development, or areas that have significant water bodies. For the purposes of determining overall density, administration looked at this entire area highlighted here. This is taken from Figure 13 of the ASP, where it determines the predetermined conceptual scheme boundaries. Within these boundaries, no constraints to development have been identified. The overall area of this predetermined boundary is 86.47 acres, including the proposed subdivision, as well as one that is immediately east. There are a total of 16 lots within the quarter section, or sorry, within the area highlighted here. Therefore, the overall density is one lot per 5.4 acres, which is within the allowable limits because it can't be anything greater than one lot per 3 acres of gross developable area. The proposal was circulated to 24 adjacent landowners. No letters in support or opposition of the application were received. Overall, the proposed application is consistent with the infill residential policies of the Greater Bragg Creek Area Structure Plan. It aligns with the desired density for South Bragg Creek, and all technical considerations can be addressed through the subsequent subdivision phase. Therefore, administration recommends approval in accordance with option one, and we have prepared a short site video for your viewing. Sorry about that. So you can see, looking immediately north, like many properties in Bragg Creek, they are heavily treed. So this was taken from Boise Ranch Road. As we continue to pan east, you will see the oil standard road come into view here. So it kind of cuts across the property diagonally. So now we are looking at the east adjacent lands. And then as we will ultimately continue to pan south, the subject lands will come into view here. And again, like many properties in Bragg Creek, they are very heavily treed. So you can see the existing approach to access the subject lands. This is where I had mentioned earlier that there are 4 properties that are currently party to an access easement agreement. And as we continue to pan west, you can see the subject lands looking west on Boise Ranch Road. Again, many properties in Bragg Creek, they're all very heavily treed. So now we are looking west. And then the video concludes with following north to the adjacent lands. Thank you. This concludes my presentation.
And thank you. We'll now call on the applicant to come forward and tell us about your request. If I could get you to just state your name for the record, please. You'll have to turn the microphone on there and say it into the microphone.
Perfect. Thank you. Jovan Vajinovic.
Thank you.
Thank you, councillors, for the opportunity to speak today. We proposed to redesignate and subdivide this land. My family currently resides there with my parents, and we moved in there, and then our family grew. And so we said, well, we love this community, and we want to stay in this community. And with a growing family, we wanted to raise our kids in Bragg Creek. I grew up in the Bragg Creek community in the 1990s, and I think that gave me a very unique world perspective, and I'd like my children to have that same perspective and offer them the same life I had. And I think as counselors in Rocky View, you're experiencing tremendous growth within the Rocky View community, as many families are trying to do the same thing. So they're trying to return to nature and trying to return to those smaller communities, and we're doing the same. One of the things that we know is Bragg Creek, there is a sensitivity to development and a sensitivity to responsible development. And we feel that this proposal respects responsible development as it meets the area structure plan. We've submitted all of the technical documents regarding soil samples as well as water availability. We have an access agreement. There wouldn't be any increase in traffic from what currently is already there, as we already reside at the principal residence just above. Thank you very much for your time today.
And thank you. I see no questions for you, so... Oh, I do. No, I don't.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
I'm just like pushing the button. Through the reef, thank you. Again, we have to start supporting families when they want to start building and
Councillor Comanche, we are in public hearing.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, chat.
Thanks for your presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now go to those that are in favor, and I see Jova. I'm sorry, I missed the pronunciation. Eugenovic, would you care to come forward and tell us your... So, yeah, they just signed as in favor. Okay, so you don't wish to speak? No? Okay. Good, yeah, he did. Okay, you're welcome. Anyone else would like to come and speak in favor? And seeing no one, we do have, we circulated to 24 adjacent landowners, no responses. So I'll now ask for those that are in opposition, anyone in opposition would like to come forward. And I see no one. Is there any questions of administration? Seeing none, Councillor Comanche.
I'd like to close the hearing.
Move to close. All in favor? That is carried. Councillor Comanche.
So now I can blur through the reed. Yeah, I can. I'm such a rookie. Bragg Creek is in need of density. Again, with all the divisions in Rocky View, we are the ones who are struggling. So we want to really make it beneficial for people, especially families, to subdivide and grow their family within Bragg Creek. One of the things noted, and I want to thank Deputy Reeve Goutreau for helping me with this, is that the levies that we put on some of these residents when they are subdividing their properties to make them smaller for their families, I guess maybe to admit why, or to my fellow councillors, why do we always have to charge on that full property when they're only looking at half of that property, or the 2 acres in this case? So I noticed in here that it's being charged on all four versus two, the transportation offsite levy.
Actually, the public hearing's over. So that's a question for staff.
So I can make a
at
motion?
At some point. So that's a question you maybe could have asked. You could ask that again in subdivision. And it is policy. It's just policy in the servicing standards, I believe. But... So, good question, okay. But it's just not the right
So I can, now at this point, I can make a motion that we look at that transportation off-site levy.
Maybe a motion arising. If we could get to the readings, if we could get to the administration's recommendations, and then if you want to make a motion arising to have staff give a report or an update on the transportation off-site levy, and I believe the levy is coming back to council. But so if we can stay into the format of public hearing.
Okay.
So here we have, if you care to give first reading or whatever your choice.
And at which point, when would I bring up the transportation offsite levy then?
After,
okay.
After so three readings.
So item C1, that bylaw C7787-2018 be given first reading.
Thank you. Motion for first reading, all in favor? That is carried. Deputy Reeve Goutreau.
That bylaw C7787-2018 be given second reading.
Motion for second, all in favor? And that is carried. Councillor Shule.
I'll go with bylaw C7787-2018 be considered. Oh, no, I thought we had to get, considered for third reading, never mind. Sorry, thanks.
That's the one. Consideration of third, all in favor? That is carried. And Councillor Comanche.
That bylaw C7787-2018 be given third and final reading.
Third reading, all in favor? And that is carried. Would you like some time to come up with a motion with Tyler and get it put on the board, or have you got a motion in mind?
It's just the motion I'd like to bring forward is that that transportation offsite levy be applied only to the new lot versus the entire property.
You can float that one by if you want. I think probably an appropriate motion would be to take it to bring it to staff or give it to staff to get a report to council on why we do it and the feasibility of changing it.
Okay. I'd like to make the motion that administration be directed to take a look at the application of the transfer offsite levy on the new lot versus charging for the entire four lots. I see Matt nodding, so that was okay.
Should we take a break? We've got too much conversation going on. Councillor, God forbid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple points of clarification. So firstly, you're right. This is a subdivision matter. The transportation offsite levy would be, as you just dealt with in a previous matter, with the waiving of the transportation levy on the second lot or the lot that's being created, or the existing lot, rather. So number one, that's one point of clarification. Secondly, I just want to remind council that the transportation offsite levy is coming forward to council. And if you recall, when we first tabled it with council and had gave you a preview of that new bylaw, there is a proposal within that new bylaw to do the very thing that you're suggesting, whereby the existing lot may very well not have an application for transportation offsite levy. So that is forthcoming. So you certainly can make a motion, but I'm not sure that it's required at this point.
Thank you for that. Deputy Reeve Gatrol has his light on.
Thank you. So to my fellow councillor, Mr. Camacci, what I would suggest is that maybe we just, and I'm just making a friendly, position here, if maybe we just take that motion off, let staff bring that report back. But however, if that report is not done in time, I mean, we can always discuss that transportation offsite levy at subdivision when it comes forward as a J item. That's just my suggestion.
Yeah, I'll withdraw my motion.
Good. Anyone have an issue with withdrawing the motion? Nope. Your application has been approved for redesignation. Thank you for your report. Let's take a 5-minute break and go to Councillor Wright, Division 8, or C2.
Like to open the hearing, please.
Move to open. All in favor? That is carried. We are open. Can we get the report, please?
Good morning, Mr. Reeve and members of Council. My name is Jamie Kirchuk, and I will be speaking on behalf of Planning Services this morning. Item C2 is located in Division 8 and located approximately a quarter mile west of Bearspaw Road and on the north side of Township Road 262. The purpose of this application is to redesignate the subject lands from Residential 2 District to Residential 1 District in order to facilitate the creation of a 2.63-acre parcel with a 3.08-acre remainder. The surrounding area is comprised of agriculture lands to the east and north, while lands in the immediate vicinity have been undergoing gradual infilling since the 1970s. The parcel is currently accessed from Township Road 262, which is a paved road. The applicant indicated that access to Lot 2 would be achieved via a panhandle, and both proposed lots would use the existing approach. The subject lands contain an existing dwelling and detached garage. Servicing is provided from Rocky View Water Co-op and a private sewage treatment system. Lot 2 is proposed to be serviced in a similar fashion. The topography of the subject site does not pose significant concerns with regards to developability, and there are no significant slopes. At the subdivision stage, the applicant would be required to provide a site-specific stormwater implementation plan that assesses the post-development stormwater management of the site. The lands are located within Development Priority Area 1 of the Bearspaw Area Structure Plan. Figure 3 of the plan identifies the subject lands as being located in an area for which a conceptual scheme is recommended to be completed in order to proceed to redesignation and subdivision. Although the applicant has not proposed a conceptual scheme, They have indicated a willingness to comprehensively develop the overall site. After evaluating the proposal and applicable policy, administration concluded that a conceptual scheme would not provide any additional further information or benefit the subdivision of these lands for these reasons. Number one, the redesignation would only facilitate the creation of one new lot. Number two, there are no technical concerns from an access, stormwater, or servicing perspective. And number three, the submission of a conceptual scheme would be limited to the subject lands as the lands are comprehensively developed. For these reasons, administration recommends approval in accordance with option one. Should council wish to require the preparation of a conceptual scheme to support the development of the subject lands, option two is available for this purpose, and I have prepared a quick video for council's viewing. So the video starts looking north along the driveway to the subject property. As we pan east, the eastern property line comes into view, and the neighboring property. Now as we face east, we are looking down Township Road 262 towards Bears Paw Road. As we move south, you can see the neighboring property coming into view and across Township Road 262. Like Bray Creek, Bears Paw also has trees. As we pan west, Township Road 262 comes into view. And as we continue moving west, the boundary of the subject lands comes into view, bringing us back full circle. This concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll now call on the applicant to come forward. State your name for the record and tell us about your redesignation request.
My name is Justin Fleming. Basically, we are in a fairly similar situation as the previous owner in Bray Creek there, where my wife and I purchased this property about 13 years ago. We've raised three young daughters. They're still obviously very young and going to school, and they have a lot of good friends in the neighborhood, and we don't want to leave the neighborhood. We have an older home in which has required a fair bit of upkeep over the years, and we would just like to to be able to subdivide, to stay in the area and be able to build a home on the back that is more suitable to our growing family. But that's essentially what we're hoping would be the case. But thank you.
And I do see a question. Councillor Wright.
Through the chair to Mr. Fleming. Currently, when you pull into your driveway, it looks like there's another driveway that sort of already goes to the back. Is that correct?
Yes, that is just a temporary gravel road we have put in, just for us to, well, it's not even gravel. It's just a dirt portion, but that would be essentially the access. We would share that same approach, and essentially, as you saw in that video, would be...
Yeah, it looks like it's sort of worn a bit on the...
Exactly,
and you have
yeah.
stuff at the... what's just what are you keeping at the back right now?
Well, there's a few horse lanes, and we have a skateboard ramp.
Okay.
And we do have a couple of trailers, but actually there's no trailers at all back there right now.
Okay, but your neighbors have experienced the traffic going up and down when
you
have done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. No problem.
Thanks again. See no further questions. Thank you. At this point, we'll ask for those in favor. Anyone in favor would like to come forward and speak? And there was none on the circulation. No comments. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll ask for those in opposition. Anyone in opposition like to come forward? And no opposition on the circulation. Councillors wish.
Just have a couple of questions of administration. I do want to say congratulations on a 2-acre subdivision application, redesignation application that received no letters of opposition in Bears Paw. That's a pretty big feat on its own. What's the definition of a mutual standard under transportation? Just want some clarification on that.
Through the chair, it just has to do with the width of the approach. So a single approach providing access to one lot would be 6 meters in width. A mutual approach would be 7.2 meters in width.
Okay, thank you. So at this time then, since there's no questions, I would like to move for option one. Oh, sorry,
move
to close.
To close, please.
Move to close, sorry, my apologies.
Thank you.
Another rookie. So I'd like to move on option one, motion one.
Councillor Wright.
Oh.
Could we call the question?
Oh, thank you.
Okay, move to close. All in favor? There. Now, Councillor
really
Wright,
well.
Try this option one again.
Try it again?
Sure.
Third time's a charm. Option number one, motion number one, that bylaw C77892018 be given first reading.
Thank you. Move for first reading. All in favor? That is carried. And Councillor Shule.
I'll move motion two that bylaw C77892018 be given second reading.
Motion for second. All in favor? That is carried. Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
I'll move that bylaw C77892018 be considered for third reading.
Consideration of third. All in favor? That is carried. And Councillor Wright for third reading.
Motion for that bylaw C7789-2018 be given third and final reading.
Move for third. All in favor? And that too is carried. Your redesignation has been approved. And thank you. Anybody else need a break? Nope. We'll go to C3. And I believe, Councillor Shule, you have to recuse.
Yes, I do. I was advised by staff, in his wisdom, I will excuse myself because there may be a conflict. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Then we'll need someone to open the hearing. Deputy Reeve, or I guess we have Councillor McKyler.
Thank you. I move to open the public hearing.
Move to open. All in favor? That is carried. We are now open. Can we get the report, please? Maybe not. Okay, we'll take a couple minute break. This is done. We could probably call the meeting back to order. Who are we here? Oh, Deputy Reeve Gautreaux, you were going to open the hearing.
No, it's already been opened.
It's already been opened.
Did it?
Yeah, Kim opened it. Sorry.
People should wake me up a little earlier. Could we get the report, please? Thank you.
Good morning, Reeve and Council. Jessica Anderson, representing Planning Services. Item C3 is located approximately 1/2 mile east of Highway 791 and on the north side of Township Road 233, approximately 2.5 miles west of the town of Langdon. The lands in the vicinity of the site feature a mix of land uses, including small agricultural parcels, country residential parcels, and agricultural lands to the south and east. The Western Irrigation District Canal is located immediately east of the lands. The subject quarter section in which the subject lands are located is fragmented and currently contains 26 existing parcels. The purpose of this application is to redesignate the subject lands from Agricultural Holdings District to Residential 2 District to accommodate the development of 15 4-acre country residential lots with an internal access road. The subject lands are comprised of 4 separate parcels, 2 of which contain dwellings. The 2 northern lots are accessed via Canal Court, and the 2 southern lots are accessed via Township Road 233, both of which are gravel standard roads, and the lots are serviced by individual wells and private septic systems. The lands are generally flat with drainage towards the east, and there are 4 wetlands on site. However, they are minor and would not impede subdivision potential. The applicant has proposed the following to service the development. Potable water is proposed to be supplied by individual water wells. A phase 1 aquifer evaluation was submitted with the application and concludes that the aquifer has the capability to supply water to the proposed subdivision long term and would have minimal impacts to existing well users in the area. Wastewater is proposed to be managed through the installation of advanced treatment systems on all proposed parcels. The Level 4 PSTS assessment provided is consistent with Policy 449 and the County Servicing Standards. A traffic impact assessment was submitted and reviewed with the application. The applicant would be required at future subdivision stage to provide payment of the transportation off-site levy and enter into a development agreement for the paving of Township Road 233 from the proposed site access to Highway 791. Intersectional upgrades at Township Road 233 and Highway 791, and the construction of the internal road and all associated infrastructure. The proposed stormwater management concept is consistent with the county servicing standards, and the applicant proposes to provide cash in lieu for the outstanding reserves at future subdivision stage. The subject land is not located within the policy area of an area structure plan. Therefore, the application was assessed in accordance with the fragmented country residential policies of the county plan. Historical subdivision approvals in parts of the county's agricultural area have resulted in fragmented pockets of country residential lots and small agricultural parcels. The county plan addresses the issues related to fragmented land and provides policies to enable a gradual transition to a more orderly and efficient residential development pattern. The proposal meets this definition, and therefore the fragmented policies in Section 10 were used to evaluate this application. In accordance with Section 10, administration has determined that the proposal is consistent with the fragmented residential policies of the county plan. A lot and road plan has been provided and is consistent with the policies of the county plan. The proposed land use, being the R2 district, is appropriate for the intended parcel sizes. The proposal would not limit the future subdivision potential for adjacent parcels, and all technical matters can be further addressed through the conditions of future subdivision approval. Therefore, administration recommends approval in accordance with option 1. And we have prepared a video for council's consideration as well. So the video begins looking north. The subject lands are in view to the east here. As we pan eastward, the subject lands are in view, including one of the existing homes. And as we face eastward on Township Road 233. Panning southward, the adjacent lands come into view. And facing south away from the proposed development. As we pan westward, the Township Road 233 comes into view again with Highway 791 in the distance. And panning northward again, the adjacent lands come into view. And facing north again. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now call on the applicant to come forward and tell us about the project. State your name for the record, please. You have 20 minutes.
Bart Carswell, Carswell Planning. Thank you, councillors, for letting me speak. I've got a handout of responses to letters of opposition. Would I be okay to hand that out?
Do we need a motion for that?
If it forms part of his presentation, no.
Okay. Does it form part of your presentation?
My presentation is five PowerPoints, and this is just a supplemental. So it's not part of my presentation.
We'll maybe ask for a motion just to accept letters of support. Councillor Henn.
I move that we accept the letters.
Thank you. All in favor? That is carried, yeah. Now you can give them.
Good. Thank you.
I haven't started your time yet either.
We can start. It's okay. Perhaps I can get right into the presentation. So this is a redesignation item. As you've heard from Jessica Anderson, it's a fragmented country residential and agricultural holdings mix in that quarter section. And there's several parcels in there. Okay. Here we go. So the proposal is consistent with the fragmented residential policies. As you can see, a lot of R2s already in the area. a lot of four-acre parcels up in the northeast, especially at the end of the extension of Canal Court. And there's a lot along the existing Canal Court as well, and one down at the south end on Range Road 223. So the proposal brings together a number of landowners in a coordinated plan, which is always a good thing from a planning point of view. We've got four large holdings there that are all combined, as you can see. And the two residences are in the southern portion. Now, the road and lot plan that's provided here is consistent with policies of the county plan. The proposed land use of R2 is appropriate, with the parcel sizes being 1.6 hectares, or 4 acres. Also, the proposal would not limit future subdivision potential for adjacent lands. Those lands to the northwest can come off of Canal Court. And the beauty of this plan, it's an improvement over the last one, which ended in a court. So what we've done is we've extended, in this revision, we've extended the road so it now connects, so it loops through. And this provides greater efficiencies as well. And in terms of technical matters, I mean, we've looked at traffic, we've looked at stormwater, we've looked at groundwater, we're looking at all of these things, and they can be dealt with at the subdivision level. So all in all, we've had a lot of discussions with the engineers and the planners, and it's all working towards the agreement that it can be addressed. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant or administration? I see none, so thank you very much. Councillor Hinn.
So just looking at the two questions here, sorry, through the chair to the applicant. Just to the east of that, is that the irrigation canal?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then secondly, so your road's going to loop through from Canal CO, what's that, Canal Court?
Yes, off.
And then is there going to be another approach onto Township Road 233? Is that my understanding?
Yes, through the chair. You can see the approach at the south to the entrance to the road, 233. Yeah.
So there will be an approach constructed at on the south end of the development, is that right?
Through the chair, correct. It okay. Connects and goes through to Canal Court.
Very good. Thanks.
Thank you. I see no further questions. So
good.
Thank you. We'll now call on those in support, those in favor. And I note the circulation had 52 landowners, 23 responses, and in objection. Is there anyone would like to come forward and speak in favor? Seeing no one, we did have 23 letters of opposition. Is there anyone would like to come forward in opposition and speak?
I will too.
Just state your name, please, and the light needs to be on.
Good morning, Council. My name is Brian Johnson, 61 Canal Court. We're very firmly opposed to this proposal. This is the third or fourth go-around. The Canal Court diagram has been provided. There is no gravel road existing at the end where the turnaround is. And the road condition on Canal Court is stated in a bunch of the letters of opposition from the residents. Is horrible at best. It's a gravel road. I don't know how the new division and population will be able to handle that. The water issue rights are absolutely critical to where we live. The proposals that apparently have been provided by the developer, we have not seen yet. Well, just yesterday, one of my neighbors lost a well again due to poor water pressures in our aquifer. And wastewater through the septic tanks has not been addressed as well. Again, we'd just like to firmly oppose this proposition. Thank you.
I have a question for you, Councillor Wright.
Through the reeve to Mr. Johnson. I don't know if the developer would do this, but if they were willing to upgrade the road, would that be a consideration on your behalf?
Not with myself and my neighbors, no.
Okay, perfect.
But I appreciate the question.
Thank you again. Anyone else would like to come forward and speak in opposition? just state your name, and you have to turn that little nip. There you go. State your name for the record, please.
Good morning, Council. My name is Brad Tennant. I own lot 20. I don't see it up there, but anyway, I own lot 20 on Canal Court. This is the fourth time, or I think it's the fourth time, third time anyway, that we've been here opposing this. First and foremost, as my partner there said, there is no lighting. They're not proposing any lighting. They're not giving any curbing. They're not giving any paved roads. The water, I know there's a water line that runs across going to Langdon here. Should be serviced for not just them, but all of us. And there's also a sewage line that could be a lift tank or a lift station could be put in to service that area. The water in the springtime is very stinky. So whatever's going on, there's not much of it. There's one neighbor that doesn't have water. He brings it in. He doesn't even have a well. And well, I don't know if that's today, but it was before. Now, in my situation, I own lot 20, and there's a caveat, a covenant, and an easement on it. It's all been submitted to you. And the covenant is for drain water. I can cover the panhandle, which is called the panhandle, for his access for 15 acres. And if we could just pull that up, can we pull that up somehow?
They should be able to find that in the package.
Do you have an actual picture of the land? Can we zoom in? Okay, as you can see, there's a tree line. Following, is there any way I can point at this? Oh, yeah, I can, okay. Where am I? Where'd you go? Yeah, where'd you go? Okay, there's a tree line running down here. This is called the panhandle. You can't drive on it because the trees are on it. So in order for him, this was landlocked years ago. There's a drainage water covenant here for me on that lands, and it will cover this whole panhandle here. This is about 300, 400 feet. Here is my access. I have a fence, yada, yada. There's my panhandle runs actually down here. That's my road access. If he ever lost this, I would have to go over here. But that's not what was happening. I had access through here always. There's my driveway. You can see it there. Now, that's an easement. I guess that can be taken off if you ever needed the land. But the covenant can't. It's a covenant. You can't never take it off. Also, as a caveat, for the rest of the 300 feet of panhandle, whatever, that says that if he ever doesn't need the panhandle for access to the 15 acres, he has to give it back to me for a dollar. Now, it's been tried in court and found to stay. So the judge has already ruled that that stays. Now, he's admittingly saying, I'm going to build a road here. So this panhandle, consequently, has to come back to me, period. Under no circumstances can he incorporate that into yet another person's land. It's not even his. So he's going to sell my panhandle to the adjacent landowner, and ultimately it's going to land in a courtroom. And not only will it land him in a courtroom, it's going to land the adjacent landowner in a courtroom, and possibly even Rocky View in a courtroom, because they've allowed it. Not to say that might happen. I'm not trying to threaten you or anything. I'm just saying. I don't know what the lawyer will say. So basically, we got water issues. They're going to build all these wells. We don't have enough water, as far as I'm concerned. We live there. You guys don't live there. and we see the water problems. The next thing is they're going to pave from 792. Is it 792? What's the name of that road? 791. They're going to pave the road from 791 up to the first entrance. That's the wrong road. They're not going to go down there and then go onto a gravel road all the way to this acreage. They're going to come down this road. And all that's like 8 or 9 acreages. They're all going to use that road. That's not paved. We're going to be contaminated. Like, it's going to be horrible. It's never, in the wintertime, it's treacherous at best. There's no lighting. To pave this one down here, there's a field on the other side. Who is that going to affect? There's no benefit to paving that road. There's a benefit to paving this road, and should be done. As far as the septics, well, again, I say there's a lift. You could put a lift down there, and everybody could join a septic field, again, with the water. There's a water line that runs to Langdon. Should be utilized. This is now going to be 50 houses, you know, or better. And then more to come because more people will come. You know, this is just not ready yet, this proposal. And my main concern, of course, is my own panhandle, which is landlocked, and he doesn't really even own it. It has been. He bought it like that, so you know. They tried to take the caveat off. They tried to take all the caveats off. All the covenant as well. And they lost. So, there's my issues. Any questions?
Well, thank you. And yes, there is. Councillor Wright.
Through the REEV, more for administration, to clarify Mr. Tennant's question about if there is wastewater servicing and water servicing in the area, why can they not tie in? What's the reasoning behind that?
Through the chair to Councillor Wright. So we're not aware of any water line that's running by that property. There is a water system in the hamlet of Langdon, but it's confined to the hamlet of Langdon area structure plan boundaries. The wastewater line does run down from Chestermere down 791 into Langdon. That's a high pressure force main on there. So to connect to that force main would require them to build a substantial lift station. And for the few number of lots in there, that's quite a high cost. So they would have to pump into that force main, which is under pressure. So they'd have to overcome those pressures that are in the force main by pumping in there. It would make sense if the overall area got together and wanted to connect, then it might be feasible to do that. But that would require some kind of compensation from all of those involved in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Tennant? Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you, through the chair. So you made a comment that Canal Court should be paved.
Yes. The road's dusty all summer, and you're going to put another 15 houses, and maybe not all 15 are going to run down Canal Court, but you're surely going to have at least 9 of them run down there. Because the other way is paved to the first entrance, but then they're saying they're not going to pave the rest of the road. Why would you go like this, up a gravel road, when you can run down one in your home?
So would you be in more in favor then with this application if they decided to pave Canal Court?
Yeah, I think they should pave that. I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to them developing. I would, encourage it. But not at this level. This is like give you nothing and they just want to make money. Well, I'm opposed to that. Pave the road, give us some curbing, not maybe curbing. I don't realize the rural areas don't get curbing, but give us some lighting at least, like light the streets up, and some paving, and of course, well, I can't give up my panhandle. So, I mean, here's the option for me. If I let them do this, and you guys approve it, because as soon as you approve it, if you approve that, I'm going for the lawyer, period. They haven't done anything wrong yet. So the caveat doesn't mean anything. The minute he gets another road, and that can now be incorporated in my properties, now there's been something done wrong, right? And that, and I should ask, really, I should ask that my property be incorporated in this plan. Almost demand it, really, because it affects me. I should have that land put back to mine in this proposal.
Okay. So this is just a question to administration then. Is there a way to incorporate, or and I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there, is there a condition that maybe can be put in where Canal Court actually gets paved, or is that even viable at this time?
Through the chair, that would be an appropriate consideration at subdivision stage.
Thank you.
And if I may, what about the rest of the road? That's not proposed to be paved.
Is, just for clarity, the internal road is not paved? Is that the one you're talking about?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Is the internal subdivision road, is that planned for pavement?
To the chair, the proposed internal subdivision road is proposed to be paved, along with the improvements to Township 233 and the intersection at 791.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I must have read that wrong. I'm sorry. Is it lit?
The engineering comments do refer to, at subdivision stage, the applicant would be required to enter into a development agreement for the construction of that internal road and all associated infrastructure, which includes lighting and ditches, those types of things.
Okay, so there is lighting included.
Okay.
Okay, I see no further questions. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I'll call on anyone else that's interested or that is in opposition to come forward. Anyone else? Excuse me, you've already had your day in court here. So
yes. I'm just the gentleman who proposed that there is no existing water in the proposed development. I have a water easement that goes through my property as a registered owner. I didn't bring it up. It's in my letter.
Can I ask administration to speak with this man and Mr. Johnson, I believe?
Yes, I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Speak to him and get clarity on this for us so that... that we know if there is a water system, if you don't mind. So come ahead if you're in opposition. Yeah, just speak your name, please.
Hello, my name is Sylvia Gibson. I'm the owner of RGA Design, which is the company that has been named the applicant for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, carry on. Sorry about that.
Sorry. Again, I'm the owner of RGA Design, which is the company that has been named the applicant for this project for the last 2.5 years. In early 2014, Al Shul from Al Shul Consulting approached and engaged our company, RGA Design, to work on these lands, which we called Canal Court. RGA has not been involved with this project in any fashion since October 2015. And was not fully paid for the work that we did complete back then. This account is still outstanding. I was pleased, however, to see that our name has finally been removed from this hearing package as the applicant, although I have seen a copy of the notice that was of this hearing recently sent to adjacent landholders, and it still indicates that RGA is the applicant. This must be very confusing to everybody involved in this application. I felt it was necessary to address this hearing today to state that RGA Design has never communicated or worked with Jewel Consulting since October 2015 or Carswell Planning, whose name very recently replaced RGA Design as the applicant. No information or data from these two companies regarding this project has been sent to or shared with RGA Design since that time. Finally, and of note, in the last few days, I did review the hearing package for today and noted that it did not appear that all the landowners for this redesignation and development are listed on the application, as there was a transfer of land December 2015. I would suggest this application not be approved until such time as all the pertinent information is checked to ensure that it is complete and accurate.
Thank you. Do you have particular lots that the ownership has changed? Because we did see a map with the owners' names.
It's the first. It's the first set of property. Lot 13, plan 7911301.
Could we get the map of the lot owners that was put up? It was done through the first part of the hearing, I believe. Okay, so now you're saying lot number one, was it? Has changed ownership?
It's not. It's lot 13, plan 7911301. So I don't know which block that is. It looks like it's the first one. It's listed in the legal description on the hearing package. It's the first one listed, so I'm assuming it's the block one.
Two.
I just wanted to point out that the landowners have changed and they're not listed on the application.
Okay, well, you know, that is a question that if it comes up later, at least we have that information. Thank you. I see no further questions for you, so thank you for coming up. Anyone else would like to speak in opposition? I have a Vern Breezen.
That's Vern Breton.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Since 1986, my wife and myself, along with our family, have been living in the northeast quarter, 182327, west of the 4th, which is a portion of the land that's being redesignated. So I'm 69 acres to the south. East of the adjacent lands. That's my house right there. And that's my agricultural land. I'm an irrigator. I own 50 acres of permanent irrigation rights. In 1990, we approached the Rocky View Council or County, and in 1991 received a development permit for our land, for a horticultural type situation where it's market garden, greenhouse. In 2014, prior to the county changing their bylaws in regards to cannabis, we had applied to the federal government for a license to grow cannabis. Recently, we've had a meeting with the farmer's advocate and two of the managers with the county involved in our agricultural activities. We are still writing up a letter of agreement. The county opposed my agricultural activities back in 2015 for my growing of cannabis. I won that appeal. The county did not appeal the appeal. Therefore, we are still fighting with the county in getting a letter of understanding.
Sir, can I get you to focus on the development? Tell us about your opposition to the development.
I grow cannabis. And because of that, the county has rules that would keep me away from the certain distances that I have to be away from houses, but because I'm grandfathered in, that doesn't affect me in my operation, but it does affect the new houses that are all being built within a number of meters of my cannabis operation. And so because of the Agricultural Protection Act and the nuisances that I produce on my farm, besides smells, Lighting. My marijuana has to get lit at night. Security issues, cameras, and such like that. I'm concerned that the new landowners may come forward with nuisance complaints against my agricultural activity, and so I would like it noted on their titles that there is an agricultural operation within a certain within the distance that the county has decided not to allow me to produce. Or they can put houses closer to me, but it's very important that I have that they have the knowledge that they will not be able to put complaints forward. Water issues. I have a water well. I have information here that if we can put it on the overhead. Oh, do we still have that? I work with Rocky View on a water well testing situation since, what year is that? Since around 2007, I've been on a water testing program with Rocky View. My water well was 9 meters, my water was 9 meters deep back at, in those days. It's now down to about 12 and a half meters deep. So I've lost quite a bit of my water. The water is going down. This is this information is available to Rocky View. It's part of Rocky View's water well policy or water well oversight. So I test my water well all the time, and over the years it's gone down and down and down. Some years it goes up, but the trend is downwards. The trend is downwards if it's leveled out. If it's leveled out. I noticed people complained about internet access. The internet access is getting more and more difficult. In our neighborhood, as more and more people live there. Our water is okay. I'm concerned that more people drawing out of our aquifer. Our aquifer is the Rosebud Aquifer, and I'm concerned that with the level going down, there'll be more salts that are becoming into my situation. I do not use my water well for my horticultural purposes. I use irrigation land and captured water. Right now, that land is a cul-de-sac. That road is a cul-de-sac. When it becomes a road, that'd be two different means of ingress, egress, more traffic, etc. Security. I have to have cameras. I'm not sure if people want that around. Home-based businesses, I also run home-based business as well as my agricultural activities. Firefighting, I had to have a large pond put in with hydrant just for an agricultural operation. I don't know if these people do it. The forced main was put in by the county for purposes of water and people along the sides of that forest main. So there should be no reason for why these people cannot hook into the forest main. It was put there for a reason. The county decided not to add the water line and to take the water line from somewhere else. But what else here? Mostly what I'm concerned with is nuisance complaints from the new owners. There are four quarter sections part of this parcel. There's always only mentioned one, but there are four. And I also got information that it was RAGA, not Carswell or whatever, doing the thing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I see no questions for you, so thank you very much. We do have a question. Sorry. Councillor Comanche.
Mr. Breton, thanks for your presentation. With regards to the cannabis operation, is it medicinal, recreational cannabis that you're growing in warehousing? units?
Recreational marijuana is not legal yet.
Correct. So, sorry, so your plan is to have a recreational growing operation there?
My arrangement with Health Canada is that we're going through the system for a MMPR license. That's the older license I'm grandfathered in. I don't have to deal with the new AC business because my application was in prior to that, and my application is for growing medicinal marijuana. But it will be the medicinal marijuana growers who will be producing for the recreational market, we suppose. We don't know that. There's no law in place for that. I do grow both medicinal cannabis as well as industrial cannabis. I have a license for both, and I farm 68 acres of land. And one of the other things that's of interest is that I am organic in nature, and therefore part of my process will be importing organic materials, and it'll be part of my composting operation to keep my cannabis in an organic fashion. So I will be composting materials, and those will create nuisance for my neighbors. But I'm under the Agricultural Protection Act, so that I am exempt from any nuisance complaints. Again, it's the information should be out there for the other people. But yes, my application is for medicinal. There is no such application for recreational. But if you can imagine the way the laws are changing, what I'm growing.
I totally understand where you're coming from in terms of your proximity to this development. And I guess this is something for admin to consider. Is that, or have you talked to the developer himself with regards to that?
I tried to speak to the developer, and that was RGA, and I was informed that there is no developer involved in that. So when I did try to approach the developer.
Okay, thank you.
I have no idea that it was a Carsland or whatever it's called.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll ask once more, anyone in opposition like to come forward? Seeing no one coming forward, we do have rebuttal that we offer to the applicant. Would you like some time to prepare for rebuttal? You ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go to rebuttal right.
Mr. Reed, I'm just wondering if we can take 5 minutes just to kind of go through these letters here. I didn't get a speed read, but I'll leave that up to you.
We'll hear the rebuttal first, and then we can take a few minutes to browse these letters.
Thank you for letting me speak. There were a lot of points that were raised. I addressed a lot of those points a year ago. Some of the letters date back to 2015, and RGR was the original applicant. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, and we could not get any further information on the file. I was picked up to take the file forward as Carswell Planning. So last year I did address the letters and made it clear it was Carswell Planning and those letters where I could either via email or mail. And then this year there's a lot that are repeats, and in those letters you'll see, as I mentioned last year, and then if there's a new issue, I spoke to it. So typically a lot of the issues are technical issues related to water, traffic, noise, dust, the loss of feeling of countryside, community, privacy, concerns with dogs not on their leashes, chasing livestock, trespassing, an easement through a property, these sort of things. So I can touch on all of those. Let's start with the easement. The easement is on title, is a caveat. And under the law, you can have administration verify. But if there's going to be a change for a property that's on title, all parties that are involved on that title have to agree. So the loss of that easement for that was next to the lands up in the northwest, that's going to remain. There's also concern that the water would be shut off. That's not going to happen. there was a concern with groundwater. We heard a lot of that in the aquifer. We had an aquifer analysis that confirmed that that was not an issue. And, you know, we can, of course, that will be a condition of plan of subdivision to make sure that that's adequately addressed. Same with traffic. We're going to make sure we address that through conditions, and we'll see how that pans out in terms of whether it'll be a gravel road or a paved road, from what I'm hearing. But certainly lighting and everything else was considered by administration, and we look forward to hearing those conditions at time of subdivision. Septic, sewage, and so on, we had a study done on that as well, and that can, it's shown that each lot has ample area for a septic that can be handled to the standards required. In terms of dogs and animals, that's more of an issue for neighbors to approach neighbors and say, could you please put your dog on a lead or fencing or something along that line. And if there is an issue of animals being chased or something more happening, enforcement is there for that. Dust and noise, we did a traffic impact study and it showed that that area could handle the additional lots and then some. The original plan was for a cul-de-sac, and by putting it through, it actually improves things in terms of planning, because now we have two access points, which means it's more efficient. If emergency vehicles have to get in and through, or other vehicles, it's going to be better than having to go in, turn around, and come back. There's options coming off of 223 as well as Provincial Highway 791. And I think that's a good thing to have. When we look at these fragmented country residential areas, we strive to have some sort of road layout that makes sense, not just a bunch of dead-end streets. It's better if we have a through road. And that was something that both administration and the developers agreed would be a positive. And that's why it's reflected here. So we've tried to address all the issues we could, any matters we could. We've done the background studies, and as said in the report, all technical requirements can be addressed through the subdivision stage.
Thank you. Councillor Hansen has a question.
Yeah, just to clarify, through the Reeve, is 791 paved?
I'm sorry, it's through
Highway 791, is that gravel or is that paved? I haven't heard that today.
It's paved. It's a provincial
highway.
Should
be paved.
Yes.
And the proposal was to pave 233 from the intersection of 791 up to your through road. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Township Road 223. Oh, sorry, yes, 233. Correct.
So, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McIler.
Thank you, through the chair. You mentioned that Carswell Planning took over this file. Can you tell me when that was?
Through the chair, I believe 2 years ago.
Do we know yourself or administration why the applicant's name wasn't updated in the records or the public wasn't made aware of that?
Through the chair to Councillor McIler, administration wasn't advised that RGA Design no longer wished to be part of the application until April of this year. At that time, we received information from that party to the effect that they were no longer involved in the application and no longer wished to be listed as such. So we did update the application at that time and confirmed with each of the landowners that they have indeed granted authorization to Carswell Planning and that Carswell Planning would represent them on the application.
Thank you. And my final question, the package that you handed out, other than this correspondence with landowners, has there been any public engagement sessions?
Through the chair, I'm not aware if RGR in the day did public engagement sessions or not.
And you and Carswell, have they done any?
Carswell Planning has provided letters and responses to any letters that have come into Rocky View County.
Thank you.
And thank you. I see no further questions for you, so thank you for your rebuttal.
Thank you.
Councillor Wright has a question.
No, for administration, okay. If we can. Am I okay to do that? Thank you. So can I get some clarification here? So what's the difference between a Phase 1 and a Phase 2 aquifer evaluation?
Through the chair, a Phase 1 groundwater evaluation is a desktop study where a professional will look at all available groundwater wells that are available through the Alberta Environment Database, and within a specified radius, they will look at what those wells, or where those wells are located, the details of those wells, and it's really a desktop analysis to identify whether or not there's a reasonable probability that groundwater exists for X amount of development. A Phase 2 groundwater evaluation goes into actually drilling and pumping of wells, and to supplement that, there's calculations to determine whether or not there's a theoretical 20-year supply based off of the actual pumping data.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Another question is altered wetland. What exactly is an altered wetland? I'm assuming it. Some man got involved somewhere.
Through the chair, that's been classified through the Alberta Environment Wetland Database, and it would look to analysis based off of aerial imagery and kind of looking at subsequent aerial imagery through the years, and anything that looks different on, you know, a subsequent series of aerial imageries would assume to be altered.
Thank you. I have one more question. Okay, so in sanitary and wastewater, the report states that, quote, although the groundwater table influence depth is of no concern, the groundwater aquifer is not isolated from the effluent, and the aquifer is at risk of contamination from primary treated effluent of typical strength, and recommends that an advanced treatment system be installed to mitigate this. Is that what the level 4 PSTS would do? And can you just give some clarification on what a level 4 PSTS is, please?
Through the chair, so the county servicing standards identify a range of septic analysis based off of the intensity of development. So the level 4 is the most in-depth analysis of wastewater servicing, and so the most simplest is the level 1 or level 1 variation. And so in this case, because we have a large number of lots being proposed, the requirements to look at the ability to service these lands via private septic systems is then looked at through this high level of analysis. And so what you're hearing through the analysis by the professional is that they're recommending the advanced level of treatment to ensure that the effluent coming out of before it enters into the ground is being treated to an advanced level versus just a traditional septic field.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you, through the chair. This is to administration, and this is a letter of opposition from Ms. Baker. And I'm just wondering, in a paragraph, and this is on page 29 of 76, and one of these paragraphs states that it says that there's actually a caveat put on by the Municipal District of Rocky stating that our water does not meet the Canadian Drinking Water Guidelines. Can you confirm that comment?
Through the chair to Deputy Reeve Gautreaux, I'm not aware of any such caveat affecting the lands that are subject of the application.
Okay, thank you. The other thing that was brought up was about the caveat side on that northern part. And I know that our legal is not here today, but what is the proposed there? I mean, I know they're putting the road in there, but will Rockview County be affected in any way?
Uh,
Through the chair, just confirming you're talking about the northern area of the subject land?
Correct, yes.
So any registration that exists on the land will remain on the land until such time as there's an agreement to remove it from title. In this case, we're looking at redesignation of land, so there is no opportunity to remove any of those registrations, nor is there an opportunity to place conditions on the retention of those registrations. It would be a subdivision matter.
Okay, so it's a subdivision matter. However, so, and I'm kind of overstepping here, but or overreaching here, but where the new proposed roadway is, that stays away from the cave yet and is on a different piece of land, correct?
Through the chair to Deputy Reeve Control, that's correct. The area in question is the panhandle here, and the proposed internal subdivision road would be here.
Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Wright.
Through the Reeve, again, to administration. There's mention of a number of right-of-ways. I believe there's a right-of-way for the utility. There was TELUS said they needed a right-of-way, and then there was a 30-meter right-of-way, I think, for the canal. Where's the utility right-of-way on these particular lands?
Through the chair to Councillor Wright. Currently, there is an overland drainage right-of-way in this area. There is an access right-of-way for the existing approach and driveway here. And then, as you've noted, there are a number of comments from external agencies with respect to future right-of-ways that would be requested or required at subdivision stage. So at subdivision stage, when the final road design and those matters have been determined, those agencies would then work with the applicant and the county to determine exactly where those right-of-ways would be for those services.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hanson.
Question for administration through the Reeve. If at subdivision stage it was found that there was a problem with the actual drilling and testing of the wells, is there any reason that a cistern system couldn't be employed for these 15 lots for water supply?
Through the chair, that would largely depend on the way the conditions of subdivision approval were written. Generally, when subdivisions are approved and groundwater wells are determined to be the viable source, there's conditions provided appropriately for it. So if they were put in a situation where the groundwater wells were unsuccessful, we may have an issue with endorsement in trying to secure an alternative source, but it would largely depend on how the condition was worded.
But is there anything stopping a water cistern system from being approved if they found failure? I mean, we're supposed to be approving land use on the viability of things. So is there a backup plan if these wells prove not to be productive?
Through the chair, we've evaluated it based off of the existing technical submissions that we've received to date, and should the applicant suggest an alternative means of servicing, we could evaluate it at that time. I believe administration is working on some level of a policy to provide direction as to when and how cisterns may be used in a residential setting.
All right, thank you.
If I could just get you to stay, I'd ask a question on if a level, the next level of the aquifer test was to be done, does that tell you definitively what the aquifer is doing?
To the chair, yes, that is a direct result and direct calculation of the physical well that is drilled for that particular lot.
So if in a proposal like this, how many test wells would be drilled to discover that?
To the chair, generally there aren't test wells that are drilled when a subdivision moves forward to utilize groundwater wells. They'll go out and they'll drill wells on each lot. More often than not, they're successful. Sometimes they get dry wells. But they're not going out to do test wells. They drill wells with the intent of those being the service wells.
So then how would council get comfort that the level four. Is it a level four?
It's level two in this
level
case.
Level two. Sorry, yeah. It's level four on the wastewater side. How would council have comfort in the fact that if it was to be passed today, that the aquifer could handle the demands? And
to the chair, council and administration rely on the phase one groundwater evaluation that's been provided at this stage to provide a reasonable expectation of what could be encountered in the field when they do drill wells.
Do you know if it's possible, and I guess anyone in administration could answer this, is it possible to say if council sees merit in it but wants to know some of these answers, could we give one reading, two readings, and request a full level two aquifer test?
To the chair, I think should council have some question and seek some further technical information be presented, there would be, I suppose, a reasonable opportunity to direct the applicant to go out and drill a well and provide some level of a pumping test. They also, I don't recall, but there may be also an opportunity to identify any existing wells either within the subject lands itself and do pump tests of those, but perhaps the applicant and their technical experts could also provide some feedback.
Thank you for that. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to add that typically we would rely on the condition of subdivision, so if the desire was from council clearly to have wells drilled and prove out service, the condition would detail that, and if it was unable to be proven out, it simply wouldn't proceed.
Thank you. Councillor Henn.
Through the chair and to administration, in regards to the somewhat distinct agricultural operation close to this proposed development, is there an actual, is there an actual grandfather clause that would negate any type of complaint against that farmer?
Through the chair, so as Mr. Breton described, he's in the process of preparing a written statement with the farmer's advocate, which would claim a non-conforming use. A non-conforming use is described under Section 643 of the Municipal Government Act, and essentially it protects existing uses, provided they were lawful at the time that they commenced. So the presentation to administration, we expect, will make that argument. If it is determined, indeed, that it is a non-conforming use, it will be protected, and it doesn't need to meet any particular setbacks. Of course, if it's determined that there is no non-conforming use, it must simply comply with the land use bylaw. In terms of the registrations that Mr. Breton mentioned, once again, that's a matter for subdivision.
Well, that was a long answer. So, sort of yes or no-ish. That would be a yes, then?
Through the chair, as simply as I could state it, we are waiting on a claim from Mr. Breton, and we'll be reviewing that claim and making a determination.
Thank you. Councillor McCullough.
Thank you. Through the chair, just to follow on from Councillor Hand's question, what are the setbacks with regards to residential and cannabis operations? And I quickly tried to find it, but I could not find that.
Through the chair, section 20.9D of the land use bylaw provides that a licensed medical marijuana production facility site shall meet the minimum separation distance of 400 metres between an existing dwelling, school site or residential parcel and the facility site.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, what would council's wish be? Deputy Reeve Cottreau. Whoops, here we go. Now we got everybody lighting up. Councillor McIver.
Thank you. Move to close the public hearing.
Move to close. All in favour? And we are closed. Do we have a motion? Deputy Reeve Cottreau.
Well, I guess it's my turn, isn't it? Mr. Shule had to step out of this one. Sorry, and I'm just trying to get to the piece here.
So a couple questions I have to ask myself is, does this meet the area, and does it conform to the area? And what effect will it have on the additional landowners and additional people around the surrounding area? I also have to look at, will this affect the enjoyment of everybody's life in around the entire thing? So studying this, I look at, it does meet the area. Do I have issues with it? I do. Do I think things can be handled at subdivision? I sure hope so. Do I have concerns about water that people bring up? Absolutely. Do I have concerns about the farmer just across here going, will this impede his life? Absolutely. So I kind of have to take that in all consideration. However, I mean, staff and administration has brought some great pieces, logic, forward for us to consider as well. So, you know, I wish we could have pump tests. I wish we could go through and really look at this entire thing, have Canal Court really on here as paved is one of the things I brought up, but we can do that maybe at subdivision. So I am going to make the motion for number one, that bylaw C-7674-2017 be given first reading.
Councillor McKellar.
Thank you. Through the chair, I won't be supporting that motion, and these are my reasons. One, we have a lot of questions still. We have lots of questions about the water. We have lots of questions about whether there's a pipe that they could attach to, about the wastewater, about the applicant that the surrounding folks didn't even know had changed. In fact, Rocky View didn't even know it had changed. I have concerns about the lack of public engagement. We have landowners that have right-of-ways where we've got a lot being considered where somebody says they actually own that. So I think there's a lot more questions here than I have answers to. And I think while it might fit the plan and ultimately this might be the right development, I just think there needs to be a lot more work to answer some of these questions before I'm prepared to make a decision. And for that reason, I won't be supporting it.
Councillor Kissel.
Through the Reeve. I do agree with Councillor McKellar. We have a lot of questions. I would support first reading, but I do believe we need to have some clear direction with answers to those questions. So that's how it sits for me.
Thank you. Councillor Wright.
I, too, won't be supporting the motion. I agree on most fronts with Councillor McKellar. Water, wastewater, Councillor Hansen brought up the potential for a cistern. It might be great for somebody who's potentially moving in down the road, but I don't think anybody who currently lives there should be put on a cistern and have to pay for their own water to be brought in because we allow for additional development. So I also believe that there was a lack of public engagement, and when you've got this much opposition, I think that you really need to go and really try and work things out with the neighbors. I realize that these letters sort of address the concerns, but I still think it should be done in a more face-to-face environment and really try to sit down and make sure that you've done everything you can to work through the issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hansen.
If I had a sewer line run through my division, people would be jumping over to try connect onto that thing. So personally, a little disappointed that we didn't pursue that as part of the administration working with the development folks. So I could probably support first reading. I think overall it's got some merits, but there's a few things I wouldn't mind investigated. And one would be exactly what is the cost of tying into this forest main, just for these 15, but also on a bigger spectrum. And I think that's a place where Rocky View can step up and provide sewage service to its residents if we have to go a little extra distance to actually talk to additional landowners and try to put a bigger deal together.
Thank you. Councillor Comanche.
Yeah, through the Reeve. I, too, have many of the same unanswered questions as pointed out by fellow councillors. My biggest concern is that, you know, with a potential cannabis operation just south of this development, that could also impact the developers in terms of trying to sell this. So there's a lot of questions that still need to be considered, so I could probably give it first reading, but until then.
That was violent. I see no other lights on, so I'll throw my two bits worth in. I believe I'd give it first reading as well, but I think there is some questions need to be answered here. I would like to see council direct administration to, or and the applicant, to go out and get a phase two water testing done on at least two test wells and probably two to four of the neighbors to do pumping to see what's going on. As we heard from Mr. Tennant, he isn't adverse to development. He just wants it done right, and he'd like to see something in the community. As far as wastewater advanced treatment, to me, is good enough. If that if that's there and it's advanced, I think that probably looks after that. I would suggest that another motion could be to direct the applicant to go out and hold some talks with the neighbors about what could be done with Canal Court. I think his idea of paving the internal road and going over to 791 is good, but maybe there's some wins for the folks that live there now. And one of the things we're doing successfully is calcium injection. Gives a good stabilized road surface, and something like that could be worked out with the neighbors, and who knows how they're doing it, whether the proponent pays at all or they work together and everybody chips in a little bit, but we can get an improvement into the area. So I will support first reading, and seeing no other lights on, we'll call the question. All in favor? And recorded vote, start with Councillor Kissel.
In favor.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed.
In favor.
And that is carried. So, do we want to take a couple-minute break and craft a motion or two here? I'm getting an approval. So we will do that. Thank you. Call the meeting back to order. And Councillor McKeiler,
I'd like to make a motion through the Reeve to lift J1 from the table.
All in favor. That is carried.
J1.
Councillor McKeiler.
Thank you. Where were we? This says I'd like to I'm going to through the Reeve. I'm going to try a Councillor Shule. So I think you
know. We haven't got the trophy yet.
So I think the you know, the concern over the wetland is again, it's we've got old data that we're looking at. The land's been dry for 15 years since the road went in. I would like to make a motion to waive the requirement for the wetland assessment. I don't have the actual wording in front of me. Sorry, item number 10. I'd like to make a motion to remove that as a condition.
So a motion to remove condition number 10. Any discussion? Councillor or Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you, through the chair. Do we want to then remove 11 too, because those two coincide with each other? Just a friend.
Oh, actually, 11 deals to the development area. So for the private sewage treatment system, so you want to make sure that the land will accommodate the private sewage treatment, and that could be just soil type. So I would be tempted to leave 11 in there.
Thank you, then. I'll withdraw that.
Councillor Wright.
I won't support that, just for the very reason that I know if water in Springbank is anything like it is in Bearspaw, you can have water for 15 years and it disappears, and then all of a sudden it just comes back. So I do think that we need that study. I think administration has it right.
Thank you. Councillor Chul.
I will definitely support it because I believe that from the aerial photos is enough information, and from the pictures provided, I really don't see the necessity of spending people's money and further. I'll definitely be supporting the motion anyway before I talk myself off.
Councillor Hansen.
I would prefer for $3,400 to know for sure that that's the boundary, and There are a number of houses that were in the middle of yellow dots. They were called altered wetlands with climate change and everything else. If another 12 years from now these houses are flooding out, who are they going to be calling? Knock, knock, Rocky View. So I'd prefer to proper delineate that. We can debate whether or not it's going to ever fill up again, but at least we know historically what it was. And with 100-year floods and all these bizarre things happening these days, I think it's good, cheap insurance, both for the landowner as well as Rocky View.
Thank you. Councillor Hinn.
I'll be supporting this, but just for my information, or maybe council's information from administration, is there a way to sort of put a caveat in there that if there is, you know, flooding in the future and they've decided to put their house in the middle of a wet spot, that the county will not be held liable? Is that an option?
Through the chair, not necessarily. If they were to propose any development on that site that would require Alberta Environment approval, that perhaps could be the mitigation in that regard.
Thank you.
So can I just get you to expand on that then? As it is a recognized Alberta Environment wetland, they would, if a building permit came in and said we want to put the house right in the middle of this wetland, they would have to go to Alberta Environment. And if they went ahead even after that...
Through the chair, I'm not exactly familiar how our building permit situation would deal with that, but essentially, yes, if they're proposing something on that site, Alberta Environment would be notified, and then their wetland mitigation procedure would take effect. That essentially is either... the first step in that would either be avoidance. So they would say, you know, perhaps this is a better location to do it. The next step would be to pay compensation. And then the final one is to actually create another wetland in another location in compensation.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Kometi.
So it's kind of a pay now, pay later type of scenario?
Through the chair, for the applicant, I suppose so, yes. For the county, again, this would just give us the assurance that, you know, the exact location that Alberta Environment has estimated the wetland to be in, that we actually know exactly where that is.
Councillor Hansen.
It could be that the study confirms that it's actually smaller than what they currently have, which would increase the building options on that land instead of us sitting here and looking at a historical map where, you know, a third of that lot is wetland. So it could be very much in the developer's favor to get this figured out properly.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? I'm going to call the question to remove condition number 10. All in favor? Recorded vote, Councillor Kitzel.
Opposed.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
Favor.
In favor.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
And that is carried. So condition 10 will be struck. Can you give us a motion to cap this one off?
Thank you. Through the reef, that council acknowledges and approves secondary approach to lot 2 in accordance with policy 402. Can I do these both together?
Sure.
And that subdivision application PL2018-0006 be approved with the conditions noted in Appendix A as amended.
Thank you. Any comments? Councillor Hinn.
Did we address the TOL matter that was... It was addressed? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, we did that before the break.
Good memory, just ridiculously short.
Okay, all in favor? Oops, Councillor Hansen, sorry.
Sorry.
Before we...
Wasn't sure Dan was finished.
Question to administration. We didn't discuss the second entrance all that much. It is on a curve. Eventually there'll be three entrances on that curve. It's only single residence. Not like there's a lot of traffic. Does that pose any concerns in terms of county standards? I know county standard is one approach, but safety standards.
Through the chair, we did go out and do a site assessment to look at sight lines and all of those types of safety considerations, and we don't have any concern from that perspective. The approach appears to be well constructed. The only thing we'd be looking through as a condition of subdivision to have the approach paved to match the roads. We'd be looking to have the approach paved.
Yeah, so that was in the report. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further? All in favor? And recorded vote?
Favor.
In 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 favor.
I'll be your one opposed.
That is definitely carried. So that's good. Thank you. That one's done. Are we ready with C3? Okay. Okay, we'll take a 5-minute break, but we will finish off because that's the last business item we have. So we have a list of amendments or direction. So, Deputy Reeve Gautreaux, are you going to make that motion?
Hopefully, Councilor McIver was.
All right, through the Reeve. I'd like to make the motion that further consideration of bylaw C7674-2017 be tabled.
Signee die.
Oh, I've never said that before. Pending the following. Number one, the applicant is to provide a phase two aquifer testing report for a minimum of 7 lots, every second lot, and incorporate a minimum of 2 observation wells in that testing. Number two, the applicant is to investigate road upgrade options for Canal Court, including dust control. Number three, the applicant is to investigate access and ownership arrangements associated with lots 20 and 21, Block 3, Plan 02140041, and obtain any necessary legal opinions. And the applicant is to undertake further community engagement on all of these matters.
Any discussion? Oh, maybe if you gave up your mic, Councillor McIver. There. No, I see none. Oh, Councillor Wright.
Number four, the applicant is to undertake further community engagement on all of these matters. Could it be on all raised concerns? Does it just have to be those three?
Do you consider that friendly amendment?
I would consider that a friendly amendment.
If we're going to do that, then I wish someone would, on number three, investigate road upgrades, including permanent dust control through calcium injection. Just to clarify, a dust control is a surface application of calcium, and calcium injection puts a hard surface on the road, or a better surface, different. I didn't make that motion because I'm not allowed to. But
so
maybe you did.
Maybe. So is calcium? This is more of a clarifying question then. Is calcium injection a permanent solution, like a asphalt or paved solution?
Yeah. It's not a paved. It's a permanent dust control, but it's injected right into the road. So it should be including but not limited to permanent dust control.
Correct. I would take that as a friendly.
There. Okay. Any further comments, suggestions? Nope. All in favor? That is... Did you not vote? Oh, you did. Sorry. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. That concludes the business of the day. Anybody have anything? I need a motion. Deputy Reeve Control.
Thank you. Just wanted to give council a little bit update on the conference in Halifax, if I can.
Yeah, for sure.
So I went down representing Rocky View County and talked to leaders from everywhere in Canada, and I can tell you I found it very, very interesting and actually well worth my time going there. Got to sit actually with the mayor of Halifax for over an hour and just talking about how they actually were forced into regional planning through fire, policing, and working together. So a very, very interesting concept how they were forced to do that. And he said,
you guys are going to go through some growing pains. You might not like each other for a little while, but he says it's going to get better. He says things will work out in the end. We also, we went and toured some of the old fire stations, and as well as finding out about the explosion in Halifax and how that really affected people and how many people were out of homes, and actually how the municipalities came together to service those people. So that study tour is very interesting. The other interesting part is I took in a indigenous session with chiefs and native indigenous people there. And I can tell you that the Mi'kmaq tribes actually came. There was actually six different Mi'kmaq tribe chiefs there, and just the describing and how they work together, and matter of fact, how these even native chiefs work together within their own within the tribes, and how they can help each other tribes. So I found it very, very interesting, and hopefully next year some other counselors will go to this too and get as much out of it as I did. Thanks.
Good. Good report. Now, still need a motion.
Move to close, or move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. All in favor? Thank you. Let's have some lunch.